out of time, and on my clock in the bedroom, it shows that it's 10 minutes to 8. Aren't you so glad the Holy Ghost will help you out? He knows when you need his help. So the Holy Ghost said, no, it ain't 10 minutes to 8. You forgot to change your clock last night. It's 10 minutes of 9. And you're supposed to be in Shiraz at 10:30. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the confession that I had to make to you this morning is, on the way down here, I didn't hold back. I got here on time, and I didn't hold back. Thank you for God. I'd like to first draw our attention to 2 Kings chapter 13. And we're going to use some scriptures this morning that probably most of you, maybe all of you, are already familiar with them. But we want to look at them from a different perspective, another angle, see if God can give us a little bit more than what we already know. So from 2 Kings chapter 13. And I want to read verses 14 through 19. 2 Kings chapter 13. And I'm going to read verses 14 through 19. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elijah said unto him, take bow and arrow. And he took unto him bow and arrow. Now let me just give you a backdrop to what's going on here. Here it is that God's chosen people, they sort of had a habit of serving God for a little bit and then they fall off into the ditch. Well, for a period of time there, especially during the period of 2 Kings, a lot of the kings had led Israel over into the ditch. And when they had gotten over into the ditch away from serving God, God would have to allow the enemies to come in and chastise them, remind them that is not where they're supposed to be. So finally a king comes along and he wants to get Israel back over into the right place. But Elisha has been like an army for them. He has been there like their chariots and their horsemen, because every time the enemy would come, the king would go to Elisha, and Elisha would tell him, well, you need to take your army, you need to go at certain place, because they're going to be at a certain place, and when you go to a certain place and do what I tell you to do, you're going to have victory over that army. Yeah. Well, right now, the Syrian army, they've been coming in for a long time, just doing whatever they wanted to do to Israel. Coming in, taking their goods, just rampaging them, causing all kinds of destructions and unrest in Israel. So now all of a sudden the king hears that Elisha's up in age and he's going to be dying soon. So the king realized, I better get down that way Elisha is, and I need a word now for the situation that I have going on now. So that's where the scripture picks up here. He's down there honoring Elisha and wanting a word from Elisha before Elisha translates off into heaven. So Elisha is giving the king instructions on what he needs to do so that God can give him a permanent victory over the Syrians. So Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hand. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And then Elisha told the king, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. He smote three times and stopped. Verse 19. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, you should have smitten five or six times. Then you would have smitten Syria till thou had consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. What I want us to get from this right here is that the man of God, had given the word of God to the king. And the word that Elisha had given the king was a word that if the king properly acted upon that word, he would receive total destruction, total annihilation of what the Syrians had been doing under them. But the Bible says that when the man of God told him to strike the ground, he was lazy. He had no excitement about the word of God that he had received, and he only smote the ground three times. And that's why Elisha, he was a man that didn't hold back. He didn't hold back. When he was mentored by Elijah, and when he realized that the Lord was going to be taking his master from him, every place he would go, the children of the prophet would say, your master is going to be taken from you today. And they would want him to stop being so close, stop following him. But Elisha had a don't hold back attitude. He told his men, wherever you go, I'm going. Whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do. Because with that don't hold back attitude, he had the mindset that whatever God did for Elijah, God could do twice for him. Hallelujah. Do you remember what Jesus said? The works that I do, greater works than these shall you do. But you got to have the mindset that you're not going to hold back. If you want those greater, hallelujah, manifestation done in your life and done in this great church. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. So we realize from the scripture here that the king is not going to get complete victory from the Syrians, but he's going to only come against them three times for a partial victory. So the scripture, the title that I like to use for this scripture this morning is Don't Hold Back. Say that with me. Don't hold back. The king could have been able to get a complete victory over the Syrian army if he didn't hold back. Now, if the truth really has to be told, all of us, if we would look back over our lives, there have been times in our lives when we held back. I'd be the first to admit, Pastor, there have been times in my life when I held back. I didn't give God my best. Therefore, God could not manifest his best to me because I held back. So I want to tell you over and over again, you great church down here, don't hold back. Tell your neighbor, don't hold back. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. See, we even have the man that God said, he's a man after my own heart, King David. But even King David had a time in his life when he held back. Thank you for God. Let's look at that scripture. That's over in 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. And the backdrop for the scripture here is that the ark was not in the city of David. It was someplace else. And the ark represents the presence of God. Now, we all better realize that wherever the presence of God is, the blessings of God is in that place. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry for more of the presence of God in my life. Hallelujah, because when I get more of the presence of God in my life, there's going to be more of God's blessings in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here it is, King David. He's living in the king's palace. Yeah. Now I got to believe that since he was king and he was living in the king's palace, he was living pretty good. Is that all right? Yeah. Hallelujah. But David recognized, hallelujah, that the presence of God was not where he was. Yeah. It was someplace else. Yeah. Hallelujah. And David also recognized that no matter how great the things were in the king's palace, what he had in the king's palace could not compare to the presence of God. Anybody besides me can agree with that? Hallelujah. You might be living high. You might be living in a house on top of the hill. You might be driving the finest car, but I want you to know, whatever you have and wherever you're living, it cannot compare to the presence of God in your life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name, God. Hallelujah. So King David said, hey, I got to get the presence from where it is over here where I am. Hallelujah. But you know, if the truth really has to be told, sometimes we can hold back in our preparations to do what God tells us to do. David, a man after God's own heart, he held back in his preparation to get the presence of God where he was. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we can hold back in our preparations to get the presence of God where we are. Hallelujah. So in David's hastiness, in his holding back, he didn't take time to properly prepare for the moving of the ark. You know the story. Hallelujah. See, he goes down and have them to put the ark on a cart. Hallelujah. And he heads what he thinks going to bring the presence of God to where he is. You need not think that without proper preparations, you're going to get the presence of God into your house. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. And it didn't take David long to find out that he had not made proper preparation. He had held back in his preparation. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, and the ark tilted. Hallelujah. And Uzzah, hallelujah, thinking he got to help God out, stretched forth his hand to keep the ark from falling over. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. And you know what happened? God struck him dead right then and right there. Hallelujah, Jesus. See, David had made a mistake, and he caused Uzzah to also make a mistake. Hallelujah. David's mistake was that the ark was not supposed to be put on a cart. Uzzah's mistake was that he was just a Levite pastor. Hallelujah. The Levites were responsible for carrying the ark on their shoulder. Hallelujah. But as a Levite, he had no authority to put his hand to the ark. You had to be a priest to put your hand to the ark. We better be so very careful. Hallelujah. That we know how to stay in our lane. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You better be so careful to know what you can do and what you can't do if you want the presence of God in your house. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. So what happened there? Hallelujah. David got scared. You see, I done messed up now. Hallelujah. I'm just going to park the ark someplace. Hallelujah. And I'm told that he parked it in the house of Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom parked it in his house. Hallelujah. And he went on back to the city of David. Then word got back to King David. He said, you know, you parked the ark over in Obed-Edom's house. But let me tell you what's going on in Obed-Edom's house. Hallelujah. The presence of God is in Obed-Edom's house. Not only is it blessing him and his house, but everything that pertained to him. That's what happened. Hallelujah. When you don't hold back and when you allow the presence of God to come in and upon you. Anybody besides me with the presence of God in your house. Hallelujah. I'm still looking for more presence, Pastor. Hallelujah. 99 and a half just won't do. Hallelujah. If God has it for me, I want it. Hallelujah. You ought to have that same attitude. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get the presence of God in my life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. But you know, our God is a merciful God. Even when we make a mistake, he's a second chance, a third chance. And if the truth really had to be, he done gave me more than 12 chances on some stuff. He's another chance, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So King David realized that if I'm going to get the presence of God from where it is over to where I am, I can't hold back in my preparation. Don't hold back in your preparation. So when he took time to prepare himself like he should have, hallelujah. And the Bible says when he began to move the ark from Obed-Edom's house, hallelujah, every so many paces, God, he offered sacrifices unto God, hallelujah. And he said every so many paces when after they offered sacrifices, the Bible said he held back nothing in his praise and his worship to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, there are going to always be haters trying to tell you it don't take all that. But the devil is a liar. If you want the presence of God in your life, you better not hold back nothing in your praise, in your dance, your clapping of hands, lifting up your hands, you running. Whatever the Spirit tells you to do, don't you hold back. And David didn't hold back. He said, I'm going to get a hit this time. I'm going to get a hit, and that's why I'm not going to hold back. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But sometimes haters can even be in your own family. Yes, right. You know the story. He had married Saul's daughter. Hallelujah. And she was a hater. She just thought it was beneath him being the king. Hallelujah. To dance before the Lord. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And you know the story. She was a hater. And the Bible said she never had a child. Mm-hmm. Never had a child. You don't want to put yourself in a position where God prevents you from receiving the best that he has for you. Amen. Thank you for God. Amen. Hallelujah. And David danced before the Lord with all of his might. Yes, sir. And he got the ark into the city of David. But there's something else very interesting about that story. The Bible says that when he went to bring the ark into the city of David, when he had not held back on the preparation, the Bible said he wore a linen ephod. Linen ephod. There's something kind of significant about the linen ephod. Linen, the linen represents purity. If you want to get the presence of God in your house, in your life, you better try to get some purity in your life. Yeah. See, light and darkness can't dwell in the same place. You either got to have one or you got to have the other. You can't have both. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for the Lord. Amen. David had messed up the first time. Hallelujah. But thank God that he said, I'll remove your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. Hallelujah. So we can mess up, but if we repent, God casts that thing away. He don't even remember it anymore. Hallelujah. He'll bless you like you hadn't done anything. I'm so glad about that, Pastor. Anybody besides me, bless the Lord. Even in spite of the mistakes that you made during your life, God has blessed you anyhow. But it had to have been because you didn't hold back in your repentance. You didn't hold back and you're trying to bring purity in your life. Hallelujah. He had a linen ephod, that ephod. The ephod represents a priestly garment. Whenever the priest would go into the tabernacle, hallelujah, if they were going to minister to God, they had to have on the ephod. You need not think that the presence of God is going to be in some of these churches where there's no semblance of the linen ephod. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Music can be sounding good, but the presence is not there. Aren't you glad you're in a place where the linen ephod is represented in this house? A And you experience the presence of God in this house. Hallelujah. Thank you for God. But don't you know that God is more than enough? He's an ever-increasing God. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Hallelujah. No matter how much glory is already here, God got more that he can bring in. And he'll bring more in if you continue. Don't hold back. Hallelujah, Jesus. Don't hold back. David learned his lesson, and he did not hold back. Hallelujah. Let us consider a couple of instances in the Bible where individuals didn't hold back in their assignment or what they wanted to accomplish before God. Hallelujah. We can think about Paul in Acts 16. And this is a story we're very familiar with. There was this slave girl who was demon possessed, and she began to follow Paul and Silas around as they were preaching. And the Bible said she continued to do this for many days. And she was a fortune teller. She brought her masters much gain. So after continually following Paul and Silas around, Paul had taken all he could take from this demon spirit. And he turned around and spoke to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus, come out of her now." And the Bible said the devil had to come out right then. Right then. She was of no more gain to her masters. Hallelujah. And the devil got mad. Because Paul and Silas had affected their income. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that they drew them to the magistrate, to the authorities, and told them that they were bringing confusion to the city. And the Bible says that they commanded that Paul and Silas's clothes be taken off them, and that they were to be beaten with rods and with many stripes. And if that was not enough, the jailer was commanded to put him in prison. Yes, sir. And that if they got away, his life was going to be taken. That's right. That's right. And the Bible says he had them placed in the innermost prison. That's right. And to make sure that they did not get away, he had their feet in stocks. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. I can imagine that the devil was probably rejoicing right now. Yeah, he was really saying, "Well, you might have cast me out of the slave girl, hallelujah, but I've cast you into prison and cast your feet into the stock." Hallelujah. See, life is not going to always be a flowery bed of ease. Yeah. Some Christians get born again and they have the wrong concept of what being a Christian is. Hallelujah. A Christian is able to go through. A Christian is able to endure some stuff. Hallelujah. See, if you're going to be a true child of God, you're going to have to learn how to endure as a strong soldier. Whether you realize it or not, we are all in the army of the Lord. Hallelujah. We are no longer on the devil's side. We're on God's side. Hallelujah. Now that you're on God's side, you done left the devil's side. Hallelujah. He's got a contract, and he like to kill you. And he's not going to stop trying as long as you live. Thank you for God. Hallelujah. So the devil is rejoicing right now. Paul and Silas have been beaten with rod, with many stripes, in the innermost prison, and their feet in stock. But Paul and Silas, hallelujah, they say, "This ain't going to cause us to hold back. Anybody besides me been in a situation Hallelujah. When it seemed like it can't get no worse than this. Hallelujah. But our God is an on-time God. He may not come when we want him, but he's always right on time. Hallelujah. So what you need to do when you find yourself in a situation like that, you need to consider Paul and Silas. Hallelujah. So what did Paul and Silas do? They didn't hold back. The Bible said they started praying. Mm-hmm. And they started singing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They weren't playing those little quiet prayers that couldn't nobody hear them but God. But they was praying loud prayers. They were singing loud. Somebody said, the Bible said, all of the prisoners was able to hear them. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Paul and Silas wanted the devil to know, you can't stop us. The very best you can do is slow us down. And that's what we have to remind the devil, no matter how tough things get in our lives, you tell him, I'm not holding back. The best you can do is slow me down. You cannot stop me. Hallelujah. And when we exemplify that not holding back mindset to God, God does something. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. When you have the don't hold back mentality, hallelujah, it causes God to show up right where you are. Hallelujah. And that's what God did. He showed up in the midst of a situation that seemed like it couldn't get no worse than what it is.
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen. But Paul, not having a mindset to hold back, he knew that God was a very present help in his time of trouble. Anybody besides me know that he's a very present help in our time of trouble. I've been there, done it several times, and got the t-shirt to show for it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. In their not holding back, in their praying and in their singing, God comes in and began to manifest himself.
Yes, sir.
To let the devil and the prison and the world know they belong to me.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you for God. And said there was an earthquake so great that the foundations of the prisons were shaken.
Yes,
hallelujah. He didn't stop there. Hallelujah. So that everyone would recognize that Paul and Silas represented the Most High God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Even the chains fell off all of the prisoners.
Yes.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I got to believe that had I been there with Paul and Silas, we all would have heard the chains falling.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You would have heard the chains falling because Paul and Silas did not hold back. Thank you for God. Hallelujah. That's my word to you this morning.
Yeah.
I don't care how much you've already done, how much you've already accomplished.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But we can always do more than what we've already done because sometimes we've held back on some stuff, and I'm the first to admit it. Hallelujah, Jesus. My man goes back to Abraham. And you remember when God told him to leave his country and he was going to take him somewhere and give him a promised land? And you remember he had a nephew that tagged along with him? His name was Lot. Y'all remember that story? And Lot started thinking more of himself than he ought to. Because he was getting blessed just by being in the vicinity of his uncle. His herds began to increase and multiply.
Mm-hmm.
And he put up with allowing his herdsmen to fall out with Abraham's herdsmen. Very big mistake. You should never bite the hand that feeds you.
Mm-hmm.
He was being fed because of his uncle Abraham. The blessing was on Abraham. And just because he was under the covering of Abraham, he was being blessed.
Yes,
hallelujah, Jesus.
Yes, sir.
We got to always remember it's not about us.
Right.
We're not all that in a bag of chips. It's only about him.
Yes,
hallelujah. That's where the blessing is coming from. We ain't done nothing to deserve the blessings that we got. Jesus paid the price for our blessings over 2,000 years ago. Thank you for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when Lot got too big for his britches and kept falling out with his uncle's herdsmen and stuff, Abraham said, well, I think you're going to be better off. You're going to be more satisfied if you go ahead and separate from me. He said, so what I'm going to let you do, I'm going to let you pick the land that you want, and I'll take what's left. Let me tell you, if God be for you, who can be against you? You don't have to have first pick. Hallelujah. All you want is to be where God wants you to be. All you should want is what God wants you to have. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad in the place where God wants you to be this morning? Aren't you glad you got what God wants you to have this morning? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why you're such a happy bunch of people. That's why I look out and everybody got a big smile on their face because they realize just how blessed they are. Hallelujah, Jesus. I can tell you've been getting fed well. Very well. Hallelujah. Give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. For the table that he's been allowing you to eat from. Hallelujah. He knows what our appetite calls for. And he has just the right food on the table for us to eat from every Sunday we come to his house. Thank you for God. Glory to your name. So a lot looked over there where the grass looked greener on the other side, Pastor. He said, I believe me and my folks, we're going to go over here where the grass look. The devil always causing the grass to look greener on the other side. Hallelujah. Don't you be tripped up by how the grass look. Hallelujah. You want to be on holy ground. Whether there's grass or not, you want to be on holy ground. Hallelujah. So Lot went over there where the grass looked greener. And he was doing all right for a while. See, the devil let you do all right for a while when he enticed you to come over where he is, getting you out of the place where you're supposed to be. And the story goes that there were some kings, and the kings where Lot was, they decided to rebel against the kings that they had been having to pay to each year, and they decided to rebel. And so the story goes that those other kings came down with the armies and overrun the place and the armies and the kings where Lot was. They took Lot, all of his folks, everything he had, all of the people there, and headed back to the land. Hallelujah. But Lot was connected to Abraham. Mm-hmm. See, sometimes we leave God, but God never. There you go. Never leaves us. Hallelujah. Sometimes when we leave God, when we shouldn't have, because of his everlasting love for us, he'll send someone to rescue us and get us back in the right place. Hallelujah, Jesus. So word got to Abraham that his nephew had been captured by all of these armies, and they were headed back to the land. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
But I got to believe that Abraham had a word from the Lord. Ain't nothing better than having a word from the Lord. You need not get in a hurry to do nothing. What you need when trouble is knocking at your door, what you need is a word from the Lord. Hallelujah. And I believe God gave Abraham that word. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, Abraham took 300 and went to capture Lot and all those who had been taken captive from five or more kings who had five or more armies. 300 against five or more kings and against five or more armies. Hallelujah. But Abraham had the mindset when he got a word from the Lord, I'm not holding back.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You better get that revelation.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. No bad, no matter how bad it looks like you're outnumbered, because you've got a word from the Lord. And if you don't hold back, hallelujah, God is going to cause you to be victorious every time. And that's just what he did for Abraham. Went and captured them all and brought Lot back. Hallelujah, Jesus. Isn't God a good God? Isn't God a good God? And that's one thing to hear the word of God, but it's much more important to apply the word of God to our lives. Mm-hmm. That's really where the rubber meets the road. Mm-hmm. When you apply the word of God to your life. Mm-hmm. And Pastor, I know you got some very smart people here. And I know that this place and your people are good ground. And that's why God gave me this word to sow it here.
Yes, sir.
Because when you sow good seed in the good ground,
yes,
it'll bring forth.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Yeah. 30-fold, 60-fold, and even 100-fold.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I'm believing that you people of God under my voice in this great church this morning,
yes, sir,
you're the type of people that the word is going to bring forth 100-fold return. Hallelujah. 100-fold return. Hallelujah. But let's bring this word closer to home. Mm-hmm. When you're in financial trouble, money's tight, bills are due, and the devil said, you can't pay your tithes and you can't continue being a giver, what you gonna do? Don't hold back. Yeah, when money get tight, bills are due, hallelujah, and the devil said, you can't tithe and you gotta stop giving, you gotta tell him, I'm not holding back. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name. You know, sometimes you go to family reunions, and I just want to make it real. The devil has a way he can get into anybody's family. He got into King David's family. If he got into King David's family, he'll get into our family as well. Sometimes one of your relatives can do something to you that cuts so deep and it hurts so bad, hallelujah, that you have been or we have been walking around for years and years. And the devil has been telling us, because of what they done to you, there's no way that you can forgive them. When the devil speaks that to you, what are you going to tell the devil? Not going to hold back in my forgiveness.
Amen.
Of them. Hallelujah, because Bible says, if I don't forgive them, God is not going to forgive me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't hold back.
Amen.
Don't hold back. Forgive them.
Yes.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory, yes, to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yes.
D-I-V-O-R-C-E. Did I spell it right? What does that spell? S-E-P-A-R-A-T-I-O-N. Did I spell it right? What does that spell?
Separation.
Separation. The devil uses separation. And sometimes, if the people hold back, Pastor,
yes,
it goes from separation to divorce. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
The devil hates seeing a married couple being on one accord.
Right.
The Bible says, how can two walk together except they agree? Hallelujah. The devil don't want a husband and a wife agreeing.
That's right.
So he's going to do everything he can to bring confusion,
that's right,
inside the house.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I've been happily married for since 1971. However many years that is, I got to be careful because I don't want to mess it up. Don't want to mess it up. I've been happily married for a long time. But if the truth really has to be told, I'm not like her and she's not like me. I tell her all the time, I love you, sweetie, but I don't want to be like you. And she said, and I don't want to be like you. Hallelujah. And but I learned in school that opposites attract.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So the reason that we've been happily married all of these years, because opposites attract. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And the devil uses differences, causing the difference in folks to bring about separation.
That's right.
And to bring about divorce. Hallelujah.
Yes,
just because you don't agree with your spouse on one thing or two things, that's not enough.
That's right.
To move to separation or consider divorce.
Amen.
That's what the devil wants you to do.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I'd be the first to admit, hallelujah, we've had some intense fellowship over these 53 years. Hallelujah. Some intense fellowship. But I recognize that the devil was at work trying to get us to move to separation and on to divorce. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when those times of intense fellowship came, one of us had to have enough sense to say, I'm not holding back. I'm not holding back. Hallelujah. If I got to go further to get things back right, I am not. And that's what we have to do.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You got to not hold back and go on the extra mile to keep the devil from bringing about separation.
Amen.
And divorce in your life.
Yes,
hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name, God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to your name. And as you practice not holding back, it becomes easier and easier for you. Hallelujah, Jesus. And before I take my seat, do you know the impact that you're able to make on a situation or individuals when you see something that needs to be done? You recognize that God has given you the ability to do it. And even though no one has asked you to do it, your mindset must be, I'm not holding back. Hallelujah.
Yes,
God knows you're able to do, he's gifted you to be able to do that.
Yes,
and just because someone in charge has not come over and said, can you please do this? You're supposed to recognize and you say, I'm not holding back. I'm not holding back. I'm going to do it even though I haven't been asked to do it. Thank you for God. We can always do more than we've done. We can almost always go higher than we've been. This is a great church. You have a great pastor, and pastor, you have great people. But if this church and these great people keep the mindset that they're not holding back, it does not yet appear.
Hallelujah.
Oh, this church will be, and all this people will be.
Yeah.
Don't hold back.
Hallelujah.